In coming here for training, you have made a commitment beyond your individual causes. Whether they be political, religious, or purely mercenary. You are now bound by certain codes. You prefer death to capture. And nothing can persuade you to reveal the technique of your training or the location of this place.
If you saw ninjas, you're seeing ghosts. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 196. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined tonight by Brian. Why didn't we do a live commentary track on this thing, Dunaway?
All right. I know as ninjas, we aren't supposed to talk to each other while we're doing our thing, but there's a guy down there shooting ninjas in the back as they come down the building. We need a better ninja escape plan. Ninja smarter.
Not harder.
I was hoping we'd get to hear that today. Yeah,
that's great. Also with us, Randy. Hi, Randy. What's going on? No. Jordan.
Aloha. Brian. Scott. Brian. This week on Film Sack, I was amazed to find that, hold on, I need to straighten my massive bow tie. Damn, these things weigh a ton. Oh, look, right at this very moment, there's a trapdoor slowly opening below me. Hold on. Yeah, it's a trapdoor. I guess I'll talk to you guys a lot more in a couple of minutes.
Let me add you something, mate.
That was one of my favorite things in the movie.
Oh, God, it was incredible.
So good. Also with us, and finally, Brian looks like the constipated type to me, Ibbot.
Sekira took your sword. Do not try to become his friend. Do not seek him out and try to make amends. He is now your lifelong enemy. Oh, wait. Here he comes with Kit Kats. He is now your lifelong friend, and you must pledge your life to protect him. Now he's asking you for a ride to the airport. It goes back to the first thing, enemy.
I didn't take my piss off Papa, did yes.
Yeah. I would just like to point out, my notes actually said, aloha.
Did it really?
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
You actually chose the same thing I did.
I channeled you. That's what I did.
Yeah.
We've channeled The Octagon, everyone. The movie's called The Octagon. A first time viewing for me. I think I probably saw bits and pieces.
First and last.
Yeah. Is it the first for everybody here?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How about you, Brian? Randy? First time?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's my first viewing.
It is also a Film Sack first. It is our virginary trek into seeing a Chuck Norris film for the first time. Other Chuck Norris movies in our history, which I think is a little bit crazy that we haven't gotten around to it till now.
I'm really surprised at how many hi-yahs there were in this movie.
Lots of hi-yahs. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. It was lousy with hi-yahs, you might say. It's this martial arts thing, sort of. It's mostly dudes in suits hanging around places and talking too much.
Yeah, it's like this movie wanted to be James Bond, America Ninja style, starring Chuck Norris.
Yeah, although they claim, I don't know how true this is, but Norris and his people claim this is the first of that flurry of ninja movies.
I can believe that. Like every ninja movie I can think of that I cherished as a teenager came after this.
What did you do? Give me an example of one you cherished. We may have talked about this with that other ninja movie, but
we thought, yeah, when we watched Revenge of the Ninja, like that, we watched that movie because it was streaming, because it's awesome, and because I'd seen it 30 times,
right?
And it was the first R-rated film I ever saw, and I went back and watched the previous one, and I watched Enter the Ninja, and so on, and that this was just, you know, I was a teenager and I had my parents' rental card. There wasn't even a Blockbuster in our town yet. And the card was a 3x5 card that had all my parents' information written on it.
And you would go into this rental store and take the card out of the box and hand it to the guy behind the counter. And then when you return the videos, he'd give you the card and you'd put it back in this box that you could get into.
That's crazy.
Seriously.
That's crazy.
And so I would just go in and rent ninja movies and watch them when my parents weren't looking.
That's fantastic.
Just going to head over here to the ninja section.
Yeah.
I can't find it.
I was more of a Hollywood video guy, just generally speaking. And I know that came later, but that was where I would get my groove on. And most of the early DVDs that I ever rented seemed like they were more plentiful at the Hollywood video, which is now gone. Totally gone. Right. Mm-hmm. Done. Out.
We had, most of them are, yeah.
Yeah. And along with it went, what was the game thing they did? Oh, Game Crazy went right out the door with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I used to love that place. Not really. I mean, I really didn't love it. Like, it wasn't great. The prices sucked. No, they're always trying to get you to buy some magazine thing. They were no better than GameStop in that way, but it was a store with video games in it. And I challenge you to find much more of those anymore that aren't a GameStop. So anyway, those are the days. This is now. Scott Fletcher's going to help explain what the hell's going on in the Octagon.
The Octagon. Terrorist ninjas have been wreaking havoc on a wealthy woman named Justine, so she hires former karate champion Scott James to be her bodyguard. To take down the dangerous thugs, James must start with her training ground, known as the Octagon.
I don't feel like that description, which he found on Netflix, I don't understand. Yeah. I don't think that thing explains the decision in this movie to have 15 different plot points, 3 different love interests. It was all over the damn place.
Quadrilateral, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a huge mess.
Why, though? What? They didn't need any of it. All they needed is, here's what they needed. They needed one of those ladies. That's it. Like, that was James Bondy-ish in a weird way.
Yeah, right.
To have these three different, what are we going to, you can't call them Bond women. We call them Walker Texas Ranger women. What do you call them?
I call them Temptations.
I keep thinking of him as old, so let's call him Gold Bond.
All right, Gold Bond.
Gold Bond. Medicated Norris. Because
he has gold hair and all that.
Gold skin, kind of. Gold jacket.
Big
collar hanging out of it.
Did you really not think of Greg Kinnear?
With his friend?
The guy who looks like Greg Kinnear?
Yes. Yeah, weird. Yeah, Mr. Jaw.
Yep. If you want to see Greg Kinnear when he's old, look at his photo now. On the IMDb, and you'll see Greg Kinnear in about 20 years, I think. That's about what that guy looks like.
I think AJ probably stood for Amazing Jaw.
See? I like that Lee Van Cleef was in this. You know him probably best from his The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. He was a bad dude in that. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing quite like that guy's face.
Yeah, so, but he wasn't... Actually, I want to say no one in this film was really used to their full depth as a martial artist. Lee Van Cleef in particular.
Was he a martial artist? I didn't know that. Is he a fighter, dude?
Well, I mean fighting like with guns or with knives or just standing around and being a part of a fight. Like, there were so many people who I felt like
hit. I don't care. Something.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, there's just so many people in this movie that I'm like, oh yeah, we're gonna get to see some real brawls, some real like ninja movie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it just never happens.
No. Well, at the end, you get Chuck Norris fending off ninja dudes, but there's no, like, it didn't feel like you're like a good choreographed Hong Kong kung fu movie at all. It just felt like, here's Chuck Norris. He's physically, he's got his business. When he was kicking the crap out of that punching bag, you couldn't not be impressed a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of strength there and speed and all those other things. I mean, there's a reason why he got where he got, but when he was even just doing the regular fights, they just felt kind of anemic and slow and make sure that fist goes way past his head. And you're just, like pro wrestling fighting is what it felt like to me, where, nobody's getting hurt and that sucks. I want my people to feel like they're getting hurt. In fact, tonally speaking, the movie starts out with this great moment when dude puts a gun in the car and fills some dude full of bullets. Her dad, I guess it was. And the squibs and the strawberry jam and those things.
The opaque goo that came out of that guy.
That was great. That was like the stuff that came out of what's his name's eyes and what's that movie we saw? Crap. What's it called? The Mingo phone. Come on, Dunaway.
Mingo phone.
Yeah.
You're talking about Flash Gordon. Flash
Gordon. There's that scene where he pulls the guy's eyes out and then it comes out like jelly. That's what these squibs were like.
Totally.
it was awesome. I was like, yeah, 70s era freaking squib, gross, you know, over the top, dumb violence. Tarantino loves this shit kind of moment, right? Mm-hmm. And right. then for the next hour, just sitting around and, talking blah.
And I realized something. There's a lot of this like interplay between characters here. And the best parts are Chuck Norris kind of getting hit on by women inexplicably. And they hit on him, and you can tell it's a trap, right? Like, there's no doubt. He is being led into a trap. He should not be doing this. So you have to wonder, does he know and he's just playing along, right? Mm. Well, that doesn't work if you never get any resolution to it. Yeah. If you never find out that he's actually smart, or no, he's actually that dumb.
Just stumbled into it. Right, exactly.
You know?
Lots of
that woman, maybe she did leave my keys in her purse accidentally. I don't know.
That's very strange. Yeah, he's
maybe
just,
if our bumpers line up.
I actually kind of have a real problem with Chuck Norris, and I always have. And let's take out of this equation all the stupid meme-ish internet crap about Chuck Norris for a minute. We're just gonna look at raw ass career and what he does on screen and why he is who he is. Yeah. So martial arts wise, as a dude who compete and fight and stuff, I'm sure he was rad. I have no question about that. I'd have no reason to think otherwise. But when it comes to acting, leading man, or anything else, he is the shits. He's never been good. His approach is just sort of like, yes, we need to get this car to the local station as quick as we can. He kind of has a weird lisp, and that's fine. Lisps are fine, everyone. But they don't necessarily make for the best leading man dialogue. And every time he opens his mouth, I just go, oh, my gosh, just fight somebody. Go fight.
His delivery is very flat.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, any stage presence is pretty much on the level of the guy who mixes paint down at the Home Depot.
Right. And at least guy's got a thing that shakes real fast, and it's fun to watch. And right?
he's one of the few where you're like, I wish he was angry acting.
Yeah.
It would be better. His acting style is just it's almost like undirected. Like, he's directing himself.
Yeah.
And I just want him scared. Get mad. Start yelling at people. Like, maybe that'll actually come across nice.
But there are a lot of other badass actors who I think deserve the kind of treatment he gets this accolade thrown on him that, you know, Chuck Norris doesn't do pushups. The world's pushing him up, or whatever, whatever all those stupid things are.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from or how it. But what's the point of it?
Well, he's always cool. That's the thing. You can't beat Chuck Norris because he's cool. He's never, even like Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee would get smacked in the face. You know what? He would show weakness. Chuck Norris never shows weakness.
Are you sure? Because in this movie, there were a few times where I went, well, he's kind of a puss.
Well, yeah, that's right. We assume.
But there are also a few times in this film where he's infiltrated these guys, and the main heavy wants to fight him. And there's no way that in a real life stand up fight, Chuck Norris could deal with this person. This person's way larger than him. And assuming he's got some skills, it's going to be a miracle for Chuck Norris to survive this thing. And Chuck Norris just destroys him. Mm. It's not even a fight. And you're like, okay, I guess, you know, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah. I didn't like it. I wish I did. I really wanted to, guys. And there are people on Twitter going, oh, I love this as a kid. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen it lately, but yeah, see it again. See it's a thing.
I'll make a quick confession.
Mm. Yes, please.
This is my first Chuck Norris film.
Hold on,
I need
the confession theme. Here you go.
Mushgroat.
There you go. Go.
All right, there we go. This is the first Chuck Norris film I've ever seen.
What? Ever?
Yes, ever. I've never seen Delta Force. I've never seen the Briscoe County, whatever, or Walker, Texas Ranger, or anything like
never that. Never seen an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger.
Never seen an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger.
I mean, you're aware of this all
peripherally. Did you have a television for those 14 years?
What would I do? What would draw me to Walker, Texas Ranger? I don't like walkers. I don't like westerns, and I don't, never been a Chuck Norris. Never had the Chuck Norris.
I never watched it seriously. It was always ironically.
The show got syndicated after its like third season.
Oh, and I know. So hard to avoid.
Right. There was a decade. Seriously, though, there was a decade, like 95 to 2005, when it was on every channel. Right. All the time.
It did fill it.
CBS?
Yeah.
Right.
And it had that lead in, the Dr. Quinn lead in, and all those things were all kind of together.
I didn't watch that either.
I didn't either. So here's the thing, though. So, Brian, what you're telling me is if there's something on TV you don't want to watch, you can just turn it off. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shite.
Have you also avoided JAG?
He was on JAG? I've never seen
No, I'm just asking. This is another TV show that's on everywhere.
I've never seen JAG.
Never seen JAG. Never seen NCIS.
I have seen that once. Never.
It comes on like 30 times a day. My mom watches it every episode.
I've never seen Burn Notice, although Burn Notice is really good.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's got, what's his face in it?
It's a little weak toward the end, but it's great in the early going, especially with Campbell in it. He was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, that's what I mean, I guess, about this Chuck Norris thing. It's like it's legendary for no damn reason. Like everyone wants to, here's why I think they make him legendary. Because he's kind of clueless and kind of a dope and politically pisses everyone off now. And he's just kind of a goof nut. Mm-hmm. And he's super, he's just a goof. He's weird. And so people pick him because he had this
It's all goofy.
He had this terrible show in the 90s and he was this awful action star before that. And he was never much of an action. I mean, it was always B. There was never A-level stuff going on.
Always tongue in cheek. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. When was there ever not a B version of him, a movie he was in? There's no such thing. The closest was his deal with Bruce Lee in Enter the Dragon, which was real brief. And I think he got his ass kicked. Right? I think Bruce Lee whooped him.
Right. He whooped everybody.
That's the only other place I'd seen a Bruce Lee movie before I saw... Or no, I've seen a Delta Force, I want to say. But I don't remember that at all. So effectively, this may as well be my first viewing because I don't remember any of those very well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, now if you're going to go there, this is my first Chuck Norris movie. Like, I don't remember Lone Wolf McQuade. I know I saw it. I'm sure I saw it.
Lone Wolf McQuade. Yeah, that's one I was trying to remember.
Lone Wolf McQuade.
McQuade.
But hear how dumb that sounds rolling off your tongue.
Yes. We're talking about the realm of dumb movies. This is the white hot center of the ninja movies and using fighters as action stars is where dumb movies exist.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. Like I'm watching parts of this film. I'm just going, remember that rule I told you about with Roadhouse that all men need to be interested in fighting all other men at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. You're on the edge of your seat watching this movie. Like, oh, wow, there's a guy about to hold the door open for him. I wonder if they're going to get into it.
Yeah.
Also, he's into it.
I have one observation. If you get a picture, like a recent picture of Chuck Norris today, like right now, he is slowly becoming Dr. Zaius from Planet of the Apes.
Really?
Yeah. The red hair and that beard, and he's kind of got a monkey lip, and he's heading that direction.
Yeah, his ears are really sticking out.
He's the future of the apes.
In Expendables 2, every hair on his head and face was colored.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's horrible.
Yeah, no, I think you're kind of required to, but I went to just look at a picture of him real quick, and I just think this is interesting what came up in top results. There are a bunch of pictures of him, of course, and they're scattered throughout. But the third result is a picture of Vladimir Putin standing right next to Seagal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. Why are they hanging out? Peter, or not Peter, what's his name? Seagal?
Steven Seagal.
Why is Steven Seagal? And this is current because it's big, huge, fat, wrinkly looking Steven Seagal. What is he doing with Vladimir Putin right now? What is that? What's going on there?
Yeah. No,
well, I understand. I can give you a politics reason why Chuck Norris is kind of on Vladimir Putin's side right now. But yeah, that picture you're talking about, and it's in the New York Post, which says horrible things about it.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, good for them. I just know.
Well, anyway, Vladimir Putin got his ninth degree black belt, allegedly, a little while ago. Yeah.
Oh, right. Recently? Really?
Recently. Yeah.
Oh, that's like a movie. That's made to be a movie right there. Okay. Let's make a movie about it. All right. Also, he's really hairy. I don't know if you guys noticed in this movie, there's a lot of hair on him.
Yeah, he's always been hairy, though.
Like, but he's shirtless, it's like groomed.
Mm-hmm. This was definitely before they would clear that up. And Vladimir Putin, by the way, is hairless. You know, like his whole upper body is shaved smooth.
Is he hair free? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
He's hairless because.
Do you not ever watch the news? Vladimir Putin without a shirt on is everywhere.
I've seen it come up a couple of times on probably Daily Show. I feel like
this is going to be the theme of this episode. Have you not actually seen Walker, Texas Ranger?
I have seen Walker, Texas Ranger. I have seen a few of those episodes, but I never once watched them going, well, this is a good drama. It's got some good acting. It was always
this on season pass on the DVR.
Yeah, it was always like, well, I got nothing better to do, and this shit looks funny, so I'd watch that, and never for its true merits. It was always just kind of garbage, and I think that's probably why he is as big as he is, or his meme persists, because he's kind of built a pile of crap and is proudly sitting atop it with a gun on his lap. You know, like he built this poo. And is really proud of this poo. And we're all just, we can't believe he's so proud of this poo. We think it's poo.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, the one thing that stands up about Chuck Norris in all of his roles is it always seems that he has like this strict set of morals. And even in this movie,
definitely.
Very strict set of morals that he abides by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So right. you right. got to kind of. So he's that you kind of got to respect a little bit.
But like any other lead in a movie that was like this, and there would have been bare-breasted women. Yeah. Any other lead.
It will. We had just a side boob clip.
Right. Side-breasted women.
But you just know Chuck Norris went in and said, okay, I'm looking at your script here, and you've got these girls walking by with no shirts on. You're not going to do that in my movie. Yeah, like you just know that.
Yeah.
Like he has no problem, by the way, with ripping somebody's throat out or something. But nudity not going to happen.
Well, except in this movie, where he had a naked topless lady sitting there with him. But other than that, right?
But
well, honestly, but I think he was trying to keep his ninja juice to that himself.
But seriously, that was the least erotic sex scene ever.
Yeah.
You know, you could just tell Chuck Norris had his way with it not being. You know,
well, wasn't he the reason, or there was a lot of talk that he wasn't going to be in Expendables 2 if it was more than PG-13, if it hit R, he was out.
It's definitely a thing for him. And you can see it all throughout this movie and his other movies.
You know what? Great. That's awesome. Guys with Principles. I have no problem with that. That is not my issue. My issue is he is really bad at all this, but thinks he's great at it. That's all I'm saying. This is nothing about the guy's morals or his stances or any of that stuff's great. I hear he's great with charity. Like there's probably lots of things about Chuck Norris that are awesome. And there's probably a few things that are a little bit weird or whatever. Forget about all that. For me, it's just simply boils down to he is not good. In these movies.
Right.
It's that simple to me. And but I wish it was.
You got to hand it to him. I don't know how old he was making this movie. He didn't seem very young and sprightly, but.
He would have been 40. I did the math because he was born in 1940. This came out in 80. Dude, so 40 dude to 80, 40.
He can deliver a roundhouse kick at that age, man.
Yeah.
Wow. He's flexible.
Yeah. He was. You kicked the hell out of that bag, and I was impressed. Like, wow, I would like to see you compete, and all those things are good. But then he'd put on his suit with his giant collar on the outside, and he'd walk up to somebody and go,
yeah, that felt like the movie just transported right to 1974, didn't
it, though? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And never left.
Please tell me, by the way, that we will at some point return back to Topless Woman, because I have some trivia about her.
Say it right now.
Yes,
what do you got?
Yeah. Give it to trivia us. About it? Yeah, give trivia about her boob.
Yeah, go for it.
About her boob. That is, that's Carol Bagdasarian, whose father
lovely.
Is Ross Bagdasarian, better known as David Seville, the guy behind Alvin and the Chipmunks.
What?
Are you kidding?
And the Witch Doctor, and yeah.
And now I remember she's legendary for being unknown. Like you can't find a lot of information.
Yeah, I mean
her
IMDb picture is the generic white box with the
really
the gray. Yeah,
I'm looking at her now, trying to find a current photo. Where there really isn't.
No, you
much.
Won't. You won't find a photo. You won't find a birth date. She's
Randy
she's one
looked
of these.
Real hard.
No. I don't know. I've seen lists of people that like IMDb, you know, like admins want more information on and they can't get.
Do you know who this person is?
Have you seen this side?
Can you help us find her?
poor lost actors, especially like now she's got to be, you know, getting up there in years, right? Like,
yeah.
What if something went wrong?
Yeah.
Even if you do an image search for her, you just get shots of her in the octagon.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because I felt like she was maybe one of the better actors and also lovely. And there's no reason why she shouldn't have kept going, but maybe, I don't know. It's the way this stuff works, right? You just.
All right. So now let's go to a Jaguar driving lady.
By the way, she quit working in 86. Oh, yeah. So she has not done an acting job since 1986. Yeah.
Got scarred that bad, huh?
I guess so. They made her make out.
I can do all these great movies and all they ever talk about is my single side boob.
They made me make out topless with that hairy man. I'm out of here. I can't do this again.
I was picking chest hair out of my teeth for weeks.
It was like making out with Dr. Zayas. Anyway, what? Who said something? Somebody said something.
I just wanted to talk about the Jaguar driving lady.
Oh, all right, right.
Because
right.
I feel like I would like to know if you agree with me. That was Justine. A real turning point in the film when they meet on the side of the road.
Mm.
Like it would really kind of came to define the whole film for me because it's so.
Oh, right. Exactly.
You know?
Right. Yes. So I'm going to call her a chick in the bucket because, well, you know what? I take it back. The true chick in the bucket here is probably the first girl he met at the acting deal.
Oh, yeah.
I
mean,
yes.
And she's the one that said, oh, I don't really know. He said, oh, I like the martial arts you included in your act. And she says, I didn't use any martial arts. And then she got hit with a dart and died in her dressing room or whatever.
Yeah.
No, that's not even close.
What?
That's not even close what happened. Chuck Norris took her home. He thought he saw a bunch of ninjas. He killed her family, and they were not ninjas.
What were they?
Oh, see,
that's not what happened.
Yeah, the way I thought it was that the ninjas replaced.
That's what I thought, too, because I thought this was going to be a totally different movie because when he did, he took the lady back. He went on a date with the lady, and then he took her back to the house, and they couldn't turn the lights on. And so
he wasn't real ninjas, broken up about it at all.
Ninjas attacked, and they stabbed her. By the way, in movies during the 80s, before the 80s, if you got stabbed, doesn't matter where you get cut at, you're going to die.
Yeah,
right.
It's not so much true now, but yeah, but if you get cut, stabbed back in those days, you die.
Yeah.
But yeah, he ran out, he turned on the lights, and came back in, and all the family was there. And there was no ninjas. And so I was thinking, did he just have a psychotic episode?
That's what I was hoping. It's like, oh, this is going to be the best movie ever. If he visualizes ninjas and then just kills random people.
But he's like Norman Bates. He just has this snap. Doesn't remember any of it.
Well, and you jumped right over the most important thing, which is he has ESP, crazy echoing ESP. It's the most stupid thing. Like the whole movie. I felt like they were running away from that, and rightfully so. But man, did they commit to it early on.
Yeah.
He's got ESP. He's walking in the house, and I can feel it. There's something.
No, not at the beginning.
If you haven't watched this movie yet, seriously, pause this podcast and watch this movie because you just don't understand how ludicrous it is until you watch
it's
this.
It's so hard to understand, too, because of the stupid echo. Yeah, they would have just made it like the, he never asks for a second cup of coffee at my house. Like, they would have done that reverb treatment, it would have been fine. But the whispery, echoey thing is so hard to understand.
Like Elaine on Seinfeld thinking about something else like they would do occasionally.
That's
those
right.
At least worked.
Dispenser.
Yeah, because they didn't echo the hell out of it. But also he had kind of a weird way of going while he talked. So it was not only echoey, but then you had the echo and reverb from that at the top. Right. Oh, it was so shitty.
Who do you suppose got him in the sound stage somewhere? Him and some guy. You need to whisper all your scenes through here.
Yeah. Oh, you know that happened. Of course it happened.
They had happened. Yeah.
I bet it was edited in afterwards. I'll bet it was like a thing like, the audience isn't going to know that he's aware that there's somebody in the house. They're going to think that he was just prepared for the attack.
Yeah.
Let's add this extra little audio in to make it seem like he knew what was coming. And
also to get your audience to believe that, ninjas have like a weird sixth sense for when other ninjas are around.
Right. Yeah.
Like it's just too much for me to buy. Even as a kid, I would have hated that.
Yeah. There's some of this, like, we don't really know what ninjas are at this point. Right. Like there'd been some books and I've read them, but like, it wasn't like a really common thing for movie going audience at this point to know all the different details about what ninjas are up to.
Like actual ninjas, real ninjas.
Right. So they're real mysterious and he's kind of defining them for you. But he's doing it so badly.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I heard ninjas were outlawed. That fine Australian guy
that
told
me
that.
Actual line in this movie. They've been outlawed. Ninjas have been outlawed, Scott.
You can't be a ninja?
They've been outlawed in these here parts.
When ninjas are outlawed, only outlaws will have ninjas. Isn't that a fancy camera?
That's a Jap camera, he called it.
Jap camera, that's right.
Isn't that one of those
fancy
Canon
ninja? Right?
Is there a Canon ninja? There might be.
The Fuji ninja.
But to have him literally say, maybe he's talking about one of them fancy new Jap cameras. Like, holy crap, guys. That's pretty rough.
There's no
okay, I can't hear
that. I'll tell you, as stupid as that is, in some ways, that opening kind of worked for me.
No.
I mean, it put me right where I needed to be.
Well, that may be.
Which was, right.
In the middle of a shitstorm of crappy movie making.
Yeah.
Exactly. I knew exactly what movie I was watching.
This movie's making me drop the S word more than any movie we watched lately.
But the best part about the whole net opening thing is that how nonchalantly, you know, everybody dies. He kind of looks over. Oh, the girl I just brought here died. Huh? Well, let's go outside and see if I can find a light switch. Oh, there's one. Flick. Walk back in. Oh, dead people.
She is dead. Well, I'm going to go find another girl. Hopefully she won't die in a similar fashion.
That's right.
This was when I think that I really think that we were still had like the Vietnam on our mind, man.
Oh, sure.
It was kind of like, I felt like that was, even though they never really mentioned Vietnam or anything, well, I feel like all these guys, I feel like all these guys were like veterans.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of got that impression. They did mention the war at some point. He said, this isn't like the war, right? When his long haired buddy was talking about
Winston. Oh, you're talking about AJ.
Yeah. AJ. Not Winston.
Winston showed up. He was fighting some ghost out in front of the gym. Yep.
You're right.
Exactly right.
You're right. And that's, I guess, kind of my core problem is we've just talked about 50 plot points that didn't feel like they worked together. And now I kind of have them all confused. Who got shot with a dart? I don't remember. What was her name? Probably. I don't know.
She took it in the neck. Have you noticed that no one has ever been shot in any other part of their body with a dart?
No, it's always neck,
always
right?
Take it in the neck.
Yeah.
Take it in the ass in a comedy.
In a comedy, it's always the butt. If it's that scene where Chuck Norris is all hairy, sometimes it's in the side boob, but no one fired one then.
Jim Carrey took a dart in the thigh, I remember.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was pretty good.
I'm having a memory now of somebody getting hit with one of those darts in the neck. Or not in the neck, in the eye.
I'm gonna say that happens all the time.
Revenge of the Ninja. Revenge of the Ninja, the early ninja attack.
That's it.
And there's this suddenly very, very swollen face, like in instant.
That's the one. That's what I'm remembering. I knew it was ninja related. And as I was watching this, I kept thinking of those things. And now even after the fact, I've got them all mixed up.
Did this movie make you want to watch other better ninja movies?
Yes.
No.
It did for me.
Other better movies, just
other
period.
Movies. Yeah.
I had to go watch like some Oscar winners of previous years just to wash this thing out of my system.
No, this was not good, Brian. No, it was terrible, but it was good. It was horribly bad good.
Well, the teenage kid that was part of the, they never really got into the fact that why he was raised by ninjas, but whatever.
Right. I know. I wanted to know that too. I'm like, okay, where'd you find the white guy?
That's so dumb. Anyway, but and that's a trope, I guess, isn't it? Sort of having
the one white samurai.
Yes.
Trope.
Yeah.
The jealous.
I hate that.
And the jealous brother.
Yeah. The jealous brother who's from there is the actual son. Yeah. Right. It's a
great, why didn't you teach one of us how to lose?
Yeah. It's a great old trope. But, anyway, my point is that son, the kid that played the teenage version of him is his actual son,
his
Mike.
His actual son, yeah.
Oh, and is it really?
Yeah, did a little digging around, and he makes movies now, and they are not movies you've heard of. They are direct-to-DVD, mostly.
They're the Hexagon.
A lot of Christians.
That's right, the Septagon. What a sad title for this movie, by the way.
The Octagon?
No payoff.
The Chick in the Bucket is the title of this movie.
You think so?
Yeah, because I never saw the Octagon. Did you ever see the Octagon?
No, but now they're fighting it all the time on UFC and stuff. They call that the Octagon now, you know?
Yes, but it's octagonal shaped.
1980.
Yeah, but you don't think like Chuck Norris is at home right now giving himself credit for that? Going,
no.
Yeah, if it wasn't for me.
I think that there's something to that. Like it's, you know, this mysterious eight-sided room where you fight and you're training and you're learning. Yeah, I mean, I think that there was something to that.
That
they may have been inspired by it. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe.
I don't think so.
In the film. Was the Octagon ever in the film?
When they were in it. But they showed it from the air at one point. Very briefly, you could see from the air something fly over, and it was in the shape of an octagon.
But I think part of the final fight was in the octagon too, where the not where the water and the platform jumping and
right the final thing with the wooden slatted.
I think you wanted to see an octagon, and I think you saw one.
That's what I thought. No, that was it, because that's where he kicked the fanciful ninja through the fire.
Mr. Hissy Pants?
Yeah, his hissy pants.
And then, stop it.
Right. Like Tina says, sounds like he's hucking up a loogie.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, your poor wife, you made her sit through this thing? Oh, man. She's a trooper.
Didn't make her. She happened to come in while I was watching it.
She's a trooper.
She is.
Kim's in San Francisco. She avoided this hell. Nice. But when he got kicked through that fire, here's what's great. I knew this was going to happen too. I just predicted it. He kicked him through the fire. Fine. We're not going to see him for a second, but we will see him again. He won't be dead, yes. And he'll be on fire this time. All of those things are predictable. He comes back through, flailing his arms around, hissing louder than ever, and now he's covered in flame. But not only that, he's 70s flame, which means there are 9 layers of shit between him and the body.
Right.
Right. He's like Jabba the Hutt moving through there. And I love that because we were not as good at the pyrotechnic kind of practical effects that we are now. So you see guys now and you're like, oh man, he is either half CGI or fully, you know, on fire, but they're using some kind of thin microfiber something. Back then it was like, give us 60 pounds of towels,
right,
hose him down. It's great.
He's carrying around 3 gallons of water just under his arm.
I love that. Mm-hmm. and then you have like 30 seconds max before that guy's dead from sucking all the smoke in or whatever.
The cutaway is real harsh.
But that was great.
But speaking of things you don't see in movies anymore.
All right.
This movie, and we kind of touched on it.
That's the theme for that. Go ahead.
This movie kind of touched on it, but I just want to know what other things there are. Trap doors, man.
I have just one.
I know, but I didn't because you only need one. Like,
no, I'm saying, like, he's got that whole room is like, all right, position that guy there.
Well, I kept thinking, hey, I'll bet there's one under all those guys, and they just don't know it. Now they're all on pins and needles, but you're probably right. Just the one. Mm-hmm.
but trap doors, man. I haven't seen one in a new movie in ages. But it used to be such a thing. You know what else? Quicksand used to be a thing.
Oh yeah, right.
Quicksand doesn't. You don't see quicksand in movies at all.
The only trap door that ever didn't bother me was the Luke Skywalker one in the 3rd Star Wars movie. That didn't bother me when Jabba hit the thing and he went down to the Rancor.
Oh yeah, right.
Didn't bother me at all. Every other time it's used, it's comical and not supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah. So Luke was okay with it. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like Luke was unafraid, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's not a trap door that surprises and thrills you.
Right.
Like this was intended to.
There's a trap door. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Just very interesting. Like quicksand. I've been trying to think of other things were prominent.
Snake deaths. Not since Anaconda, really.
You know. Right. The dog of choice, 80s, Doberman.
Oh yeah, right.
That was a scary scary dog during the 80s.
Sits on the stairs though, nice and mm-hmm. obedient.
Did German Shepherd had a moment there in film?
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. German Shepherd had a moment, though, Rottweiler had a moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are we now? What are we with dogs now?
Pitbull. It's always pitbulls.
Yeah.
That's too bad because I've met are always really sweet.
Mm-hmm. I think it hurts dogs, actually.
Yeah.
You think it hurts dogs?
I think it hurts their reputation. I think that German Shepherds probably got a bad reputation. I mean, Rin Tin Tin was a good example of a positive.
He's a good boy.
He was a good boy. Who's a good boy? Rin Tin Tin was a good boy. But but I mean, that was always the henchman's dogs, the Doberman, the German Shepherd. And I think it put a lot of the fear into people's minds like, oh, those are bad dogs. Those are ones to stay away from. Yeah,
those are Nazi dogs. I agree. I think that's that's just true of everything. Like right,
and black cats for the same reason.
Nobody trusts Rottweilers, not because of their actual bite record, but because they're told that they're bad, or they've seen them in movies and they're bad, or whatever.
Oh, don't start down that path. You're going to get some emails with statistics on that one.
That's totally fine. Like I know is this: all dogs, if you treat them like crap, are going to bite you. That's what I know.
Yes, that's exactly right.
German Shepherds are always Nazi dogs. That's the other thing I know. They're always Nazi dog.
Sorry, I have lately gotten to know a corgi that is the little freaking jerk.
Mm. Corgis are horrible.
I just never dreamed that any short-legged dog could actually put up such a mean spirit, you know?
No, they're they can be horrible. Mine's stuck up and snotty and rude, and she's not. She's a little shih tzu.
Whatever.
Yeah, she's the worst. The cocka shih tzu mix is the worst. They're the
oh my god, say that again.
Cocka shih tzu.
I love it when
cocka,
you say that.
Shih tzu, poo. Yeah, that's the one. For those not in the know, it's a cocker spaniel, a shih tzu, a poodle all together. Cocka, shih tzu, poo.
All together now.
And a turd.
And a turd. I forgot about the poo part. Let's see. Van Cleef, I mentioned something about that's all good. What else? Oh, we talked about this.
Ernie Hudson, we talked about.
You know what I like? Here, I'll play a taste of it. Where's his name? Hold on. Here it is.
Mr. Beatty.
I liked Mr. Beatty.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think of where I saw that guy before, too. And The only thing I could come up with was the second Conan movie. He's like this little wormy little wizard dude that follows along with them.
Yep.
Wormy guy.
I thought he was the guy who owned the saloon in Deadwood, but that's the Daryl and my other brother Daryl guy, and I always get those two guys mixed up.
Yeah, right. The guy who is J.F. Sebastian in Blade Runner.
Correct. Yeah. This guy is in some big stuff though, and I'm going to find it real fast. I had it up here, now I lost it.
Let's see,
Mr. Beatty. He's one of the last.
Oh, there it is. Uncredited. Tracy Walter.
Yeah, Tracy Walter. So he is known for Batman in 89. He's known for Silence of the Lambs in 91. Matilda, like a bunch of stuff. And he still works quite a bit.
He was probably one of the dudes. What was in the behind the bars? Probably
the one that threw stuff at Clarice.
But in this, he was Mr. Beatty.
Mr. Beatty.
Did a lot of Nash Bridges. I remember him in those. So yeah, he's been around. He's done stuff.
Right.
I like that guy.
Hey, yeah, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
I know I kind of touched on a little bit in my opening, but hey, you know what? Just because you're a ninja and you have the skills to be quiet, if another ninja comes into your camp, it's okay to yell out, ninja in our camp. Everybody up. Let's get him. Yeah. You don't have to be quiet and let him, you know, rain havoc among the camp.
Well, weird. Again, it's those ninja rules that aren't clearly spelled out for viewers. Because they don't know. What do they know? I don't know what a ninja does. A ninja does what a ninja does. I
mean, ninja got to do what a ninja got
to
do.
It seems to me that there were ninjas in broad daylight hiding in trees with no leaves in them.
That's
so,
happened all the time.
Hello. I could see every ninja in that damn tree.
But you were looking. Other people weren't looking.
They should have just looked up and there they were.
I don't look above my eye line.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. What's wrong with us?
Exactly.
Let's see. We talked about chicken in the bucket. How about this trope right here? Action stars are never entirely asleep. So they're in bed, they're sleeping. Right. Somebody comes in with some kind of claw device.
God, I love those claw-like arm things. Is that what they used to get up the brick wall?
Yes, yes. I used to have a set of those. I'm serious.
Did you ever climb anything with them?
I couldn't climb.
Have a good body strength for that,
dude. Yeah. I could exactly. All ninja weapons look really cool until you realize you either hit yourself in the nuts with them. Or you stab your hands with the throwing stars, or you can't go anywhere with those grip thingies.
This movie had so many rubber weapons. Like they just love to stop and say, "Oh, maybe you've never seen nunchucks before." And there's this guy going with the nunchucks.
Blinky?
Yeah, and they're so rubber because that guy is hitting his own spine. Like he would go down making those moves.
Yes,
those might be made of foam rubber. Like that's how badly these people were hitting themselves with their
weapons.
But didn't
it feel like this was like maybe some of the first times anybody had really seen nunchucks in action, and so therefore it was cool no matter what you did to it. And we hadn't got our heads around it. And this is kind of my overall problem with the ninja movie as a genre. Because you don't see them now. They aren't getting made anymore. There's occasionally some weird Hong Kong import or something that'll have a ninja in it, but they don't get made now. And I have pretty sure I know exactly why they don't get made now. I think they don't get made now because they have an image problem, and the image problem is they're goofy. They're goofy and silly, and it doesn't feel cool anymore. There's nothing about a guy in a little black suit with his little beady eyes showing, jerking around and jumping and leaping on stuff that seems cool anymore. Like maybe Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon did a little bit for the ninja thing, but it's not enough. And so it's either played for comedy or for foil or whatever. I want to see a resurgence of this stuff, but to have them take it serious, like get back to the core roots of the thing, like take it really seriously and not just put a guy in a black thing.
Which won't happen because serious movies that really want to do serious things involve a lot of talking, and ninja are quiet. They're silent. And so you're either going to mix a bunch of ninja with a bunch of people sitting around talking in diners, or you're going to have like, Ninja NATO, like the newest, like crazy bullshit from the Sci-Fi Channel, and there's just nothing in between those.
Ninja NATO.
Yeah.
So a tornado full of ninjas is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah.
I would pay to see that.
I'd call it
Ninja Assassin from 2009 actually got a 6.4 on IMDb and got a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's pretty dang good for a ninja movie.
It's a Hong Kong
ninja
movie.
Ninja Assassin?
Yeah, Ninja Assassin, Warner Brothers.
God, you would not go to it based on that name.
Oh, yeah, I would. 2009. Is this a China? It's a, no, James McTeagle. It's some American business.
McTeagle's.
Oh, that looks like fun.
Yeah. Was that 5 years old? That's not horrible.
Yeah, look at that guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Scott. Yeah. Scott, I'd really like to see. I'd like to see someone make an American Ninja movie and take it seriously in 2014. I think that could be really
it's
good.
It's called The Matrix.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of.
The original one.
Without the stealth aspect, really. I mean, it's more of the fighting, but less the.
Yeah.
And without the out and out evil of it. Like, the interesting thing about some of those old ninja movies is this whole, you know, groups of them come in and kill your family and you must get revenge and, you know, go to another land and blend their strange ways with the modern
like
ways. Yeah.
This thing is only, it's about an hour and a half.
I can do that.
Let's hear part of the trailer just for fun. Let's see what we got here. Remind me later.
I don't ninjas.
Is this done on Netflix? Oh no, it's Amazon. Okay, let's just see what let's see what this is. Ninja Assassin with your high volume. I'll turn that up. I can't turn the volume up. Yes, I can.
That's because it's a ninja movie. You can't hear your parents.
Oh. Without the home. Oh. Without the people to care for you.
It looks good. There's good film. I'd see this. So maybe we'll check it out. Ninja Assassin. I'm not for the show necessarily, but I yearn for maybe a good take on this. Maybe that was it. I don't know. All right.
I'm yearning for an old Eric von Lustbader book now. Just like anything, like about ninja.
You had me at Lustbader. I'm going to coin a new acronym for this movie. It's SSB. That stands for sudden side boob. It came out of nowhere. Right.
No nudie.
She'd just been going commando in that top for the whole film, and we didn't even know it.
She was over there going, "Maybe I want to lie closer to you." Out it came, like it was that quick. Amazing. And then the ending. Can we just talk about the ending for a second?
Yes. the ending.
Yeah, because everybody, the Twitter kind of exploded between the four of us about the ending. Right. Mostly Dunaway.
What the hell?
And was like, what is, and I think you and I finished right around the same time because I was just finishing when I saw your tweet. That was a terrible, terrible, sudden ending.
Yeah.
Right? Sudden is right.
The killing of that dude was even too sudden. I think they ran out of time and went, whoa, we've gone an hour, what?
He just kills him. Okay, roll credits.
Ugh.
Maybe they only bought so many feet of film.
Well, they wasted it on so many other things they couldn't do anything about. Like in a digital world, would this have gone better? Probably. They could have mixed and matched things better and it wouldn't have been so tied to a budget. But that was real dumb. And when he finally killed him, it was just a standard killing.
Right.
Yeah. It was nothing
stab,
special.
The behind the back stab.
Just and he fell down. Roll credits. Sunset. We're out.
Mm-hmm. He didn't roll down and go, "I told you I'd win," or anything. I mean, something cool.
Yeah, it's again, a terrible ending.
But you got to admit that whole scene when they got Chuck Norris walking on the hill, and you got that great backlight going on, that orange backlight. That was actually a pretty good looking shot.
Yeah, it's moments, but I felt like they were so in my face, like, ooh, guys, sunset, have Chuck walk in front of it, roll film. Like, it never felt planned.
Maybe that was the problem. Maybe they were running out of light, and it was just like, okay, we got to do it now. Okay, that's all we got.
Maybe. Honestly, that wouldn't surprise me or shock me. So anyway, mustaches, collars, the whole thing's just a pile of crap. Let's get to some clips.
Yes.
We got the beginnings here of, which one's this one? Oh, yeah. This is that weird whispering. Let's listen to the whole thing, that weird whispering sound.
No, not at the beginning.
So terrible. All right, there's a guy who just yelled in the background for no reason, and I thought it was cool, so I captured it.
Hey, where the hell are we?
That guy right there.
Yeah.
Getting off the truck, remember that?
Right.
I also thought that was a trope ready to happen, was migrant workers brought into...
That was weird.
Yeah. Isn't that how it started? The whole thing started with that.
It did. Migrant workers brought in
loading
to,
in the...
But it was Irish people. There was a whole... everybody was represented except for black people. I don't think it was named.
There was no
true
black
story.
People.
Just I don't Ernie think it
Hudson.
Was.
Yeah. Oh, Ernie Hudson, dude, I forgot.
Which they shot. Which they shot afterwards right. on a street. Mm-hmm.
Clearly,
had nothing to do with it.
Right. Yeah, it was. It was like, you know how this thing's kind of set in Mexico. We're just going to go to downtown L.A. and do a fill-in scene.
Nick was standing there, and he goes, "Dad, that's that other Ghostbuster." He literally said that for us.
Yeah, oh, so funny.
Once again, Ernie Hudson not getting the respect he needs.
Mm-hmm. I think he ought to have his own Ghostbusters movie. Just Ghostbusters just 3, him. Right. Him.
Yeah, Ghostbusters Ernie.
The legend of Winston.
Oh, is it Winston? See, I can't remember his name. I would watch that.
I would totally watch that.
He did really good voice work, just to give him some credit here. He was great in the Transformers Prime 3D cartoon that came out a couple years ago. Real, real good in that. Did a fine job. Okay, here's something else.
That's the kind of girl I'd like to settle down with. Pretty, but not too pretty.
Shut up, Greg Kinnear.
Yeah, Greg Kinnear lookalike. You're terrible. You're a terrible man.
That right. whole scene, that was just cringeworthy. Every it part really of was. That scene.
Yeah, yeah, I hated it.
And the girl he's seeing walks up and he makes the lamest excuse. It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, okay, I guess I'll let you get away with it.
Yep.
She was an airhead.
That was
yeah.
He wasn't lying.
Yeah.
Super dumb. How about this
I
one?
Think you owe me an apology.
who asked a girl on a who asked a girl this on a date, I ask?
I like the way you incorporated the martial arts into your dance tonight. How'd you get involved?
Oh my gosh, Chuck Norris, you are just terrible.
That's
worst pickup line.
It really is.
Smooth.
Smooth like a Chuck Norris pickup line.
It sounded like a corporate video on how not to sexual harass in the workplace.
True. Right, first yeah. Right.
It's okay to ask people about their interests. Like this example.
Crack. I don't use it.
Here's an emotional exchange between friends.
You know, I've been thinking about what happened last night. It really burns my ass. Wasted energy, pal. Look, you got your reasons for not wanting to fight anymore. That's your business, but don't get sanctimonious about it. Sorry, that's a cheap shot.
Sorry, man. I get a little worked up since the war. It's the war.
Don't mention the war.
They were ninja.
They weren't terrorists. They were ninja.
They weren't terrorists. So, they were ninja. Right.
That brings up a good question. The plural of ninja is ninja. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There were ninjas. I mean, people did say ninjas.
You're on a path. You're going past a ninja tree. You neither take ninjas nor leave ninjas. How is this possible?
Right.
And I noticed that sometimes there was a ninja or it was some ninja, but this time it was ninja.
Randy, you've read the books. Do you say I just walked into a warehouse full of ninja, or do I say full of ninjas?
That's exactly right. No. The first one. It's just like the plural of sushi is sushi.
Oh,
but wait.
There's a lot of strange Japanese.
Let's
same
go get
word.
Some sushis.
Mm.
Yeah.
Some sushis. That sounds really bad, but why does ninjas sound fine?
It doesn't.
It does, though. I know it's not right, maybe technically, but fine. It sounds fine. For me to say, oh my gosh, there are ninjas all crawling all over the compound.
This place is sick with ninjas.
That sounds fine to me compared to,
you're
my
speaking
gosh,
in English.
We didn't get enough sushis with our order. You said we'd have 5 sushis on this wooden thing.
How many sushis does the plate come with?
I mean, that kind of, you just want to kick a person that says that.
Yes. Well, that's okay.
All right. Here's another one. Hey, it's another Ghostbuster.
No, he doesn't compete anymore.
You mean after all this time? Hell, man, I saw that fight, but that guy getting hurt is no reason for him not to compete.
Ray, where the hell are we going, Ray?
Oh, man. Also sounds quite a bit like Carl Weathers. Yeah, a little bit,
yeah.
Not bad. More like Arrested Development Carl Weathers, though. Maybe. not waving around blown off arm Carl Weathers and Predator. Not that kind.
I was asked by a friend the other day who had never seen Arrested Development to like list out like the best episodes.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no. You just watched the first season from begin. Like it's so a single episode divided up into a bunch of crazy.
That new stuff's also better if you just binge through it.
Yeah.
It's a lot better. Yeah. Don't take big breaks between episodes.
I never finished it. I need to go back and I probably need to start the beginning and watch them all again.
It just wasn't that good. After about 4 episodes, I was just like, Portia de Rossi's plastic surgery has done me in.
Very distracting. But honestly, it gets better after that. I feel like those 4 episodes are kind of a weird lead up that pays off later.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's worth
finishing. Oh, that's a bold statement, man.
I really do. I did, because I'm with you. I thought the first 4 were kind of, this is all right, whatever. But it got way better after that.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's, okay.
Yeah, for reals. What else here? What else is going on? I mean, you know, if you're going to ask me if the fourth season on the whole came anywhere near the first three, I'm not going to tell you that. I was like, it's not as good as that stuff, but it's better than you think. Let's see. Here's this one. Better use real people.
Be a hell of a lot better if they was using real people.
I don't even remember what that was about.
Talking about the practicing at the Octagon with the migrant workers.
Right. Because they're not real people, those migrant workers.
Well, I mean, they will be using real people, but first you're using Burning Man cast-offs.
Oh, that's true. All right, here's some sexy...
No payoff on those damn things.
No,
either.
None. Chicks in a bucket right there. Sorry, chick in a bucket. Is that plural? That doesn't matter. All right, here we go.
Chicks in buckets.
Chicks in buckets. Plural. Got it. Here's the better use of... Or no, sorry. Sexy talk time. Sexy. Right here.
Would you come inside if I said I took your keys deliberately?
Probably.
Yeah,
I'm already inside the house.
Yeah. And like, and if it takes you that long to come up with a comeback, it's not worth saying.
Nope.
Right.
He just sounds stupid.
Here's some good death sounds. Check these out right here.
Oh yeah. I know exactly who that was. That's a rope around the neck guy in the warehouse.
He got garroted.
Yes.
I like the law of threes he's employed there. One small yell, one medium yell, and then one big yell. That was good.
It was like it was covered with knives or something.
I did like the trainer master man, so here's him doing his thing.
Stop! If this were a hostile environment, you and you and you would be alive. And you would be wounded or in jeopardy. And you would be dead.
And your porridge would be too cold.
You would have sat idly and watched. You would have gone wee, wee, wee all the way home.
It's this wonderful angry acting that, I wish Chuck Norris had done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have been, well, I mean, he never does. This is never him. So we're not going to get that ever. The closest we'll ever get to it is maybe that World of Warcraft commercial he did, and that's the most acting you're going to get out of that guy. Here is stock lightning from Hollywood. How do I know? Because it sounds like this. It's like they borrowed it.
Horror lightning.
Yeah, horror lightning. They borrowed it from the Amityville people. You guys going to use that? We could use it for our ninja movie. let's see. Not good for either of us.
It's an insult to both of us. It makes me stupid. And you a whore.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Down, Chuck.
Mr. Norris.
He sounds really effeminate there, too.
That's what I'm talking about. And I'm not saying, you know, whatever. A lot of people do. Some of my best friends sound effeminate. But I need my kick-ass and karate guys. I need to be a little tougher.
That was kind of like saying you went to gym with a black guy. It really was. I had gym class with a black guy.
It's okay if I say offensive things.
Yeah, don't worry about me. All my friends are effeminate.
But seriously, like that, like I'm listening to that thinking, are they trying to subtly tell us that he's, you know, he's a little girly? And no, it's just the way he can't act.
It's the way he talks. It's the way he is. This guy was a waste of time. I don't know if they paid him, but what are you doing? Here it is.
Where's the peanuts?
Yeah, where's the peanuts guy at the ball? Oh, yeah. At the bar?
I thought chicken in a bucket. Yeah.
I thought he said penis. I
where's
really
the
did.
Penis? Hold on.
Where's the peanuts?
Oh, that's pretty good. Close.
I really did.
Maybe it was Mr. Beatty.
Mr. Beatty.
All right. How about this one? Most of the time, what? Most of the time, hard to hear this. I don't know why I wrote that. Oh, I know why. It's more whispering.
Dongo. Dongo. Not the answer. But if I go partway to them, they'll have to move toward me.
Did you understand any of it?
Yes, I understood every word of it.
I didn't understand any of it. Tell us. Transcribe it.
Okay. All right. So play the very beginning. Okay. Just let me go.
Dongo.
Okay.
So I don't know what dongle is, but it's not the answer.
Dongle is the dude. He's the
right. Okay. He's not right. Not the answer.
Dongle is not the answer. Another form of security on your 3D Studio Max is the answer.
Yes.
Two pass, protect. Obscurity by security.
Keep going. Okay. I want to give you.
But if I go partway to them,
Okay.
But if I go partway to them,
they'll have to go towards me.
Okay. You must have it, but the dongle part's the only real mystery. Yeah. Then,
whatever his name was, Doggle. His name was Doggle. Doggle, it's not the answer. But if I go partway to them, they'll have to move toward me.
So you have a skill for that. I still didn't hear it. That's a terrible thing.
It's horrible, Scott. It's so bad.
Right. But you have special ESP for transcribing Chuck Norris ninja ESP, which is great.
That's the worst superpower ever.
Some more bad acting I just don't like. There you go.
I heard you got connections with a guy named Sakura who trains ninja style. And I'd like to learn. Well, I might too if I knew what the hell a ninja was.
Yeah, that guy was pretty good, but Chuck Norris
remember
is...
when everything was a style?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was tiger style, drunk master style, ninja snake style. Mm-hmm. Ninja style.
Yeah. Open Gundam style.
Gundam style, that's yeah, right.
Exactly. Who's saying that? Was it you, Ibbot? Where yeah, there? Okay. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Can I get my double ninja style, please?
The best version of that, we were talking about that Hitler movie before the show. The best version of that thing is that mix where it's him doing the open Gundam style thing
as
Hitler. Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, you need to look at
it. It's great. I may have to search for it before we're done here. All right. Here is some seriously bad acting.
I'm sorry. I'm just so tired of living in fear, just wondering when they're gonna...
When who's gonna do what?
Just hold me.
She's so bad.
Oh my god, that was so bad.
So bad, dude.
Was that Fur Coat Lady?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fur Coat Lady. You know, you can't even remember their names because they're only on screen long enough to die and then they mix us up with other women. It was terrible the way they
did that. Screen long enough to confuse you.
Right.
You remember the fur coat. You remember the lady driving the car. You don't remember what the outcome was.
Mm.
Here we go. It's called Opa Gangnam Style, Hitler version. It's from that movie. Check it out. This is great. And it's all lines from Downfall.
Opa Downfall!
What the hell? Hang on. It gets even better. It's really good.
Oh my god.
That's really well
it's
done.
It's so good. It's all video, of course, so you can see.
I kind of want that like in my iTunes library.
It's kind of that good. It's kind of good enough you'd want to play it for your friends. Wow. It's really, really well done. Anyway. sorry. Where are we now? I don't even know. Oh, here's another.
Who cares?
Here's another one. I don't know. I don't remember that.
You're not capable.
Oh, okay. I like that guy.
Oh, that is good.
Not just a hog.
I didn't have a hog. I have the hog.
I didn't have a hog. Here's a little banter before I show you my side boob. Boob. Something about a hog.
All right. Weird.
See your hog.
Here's some weird ninja sounds.
Let's talk about your big butt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. All right. Here's this. That's the hissing ninja.
Hissing ninja. Yeah.
He, by the way, is a guy you know.
Madagascarian hissing ninjas.
You know this guy. He is a dude. Oh, he's in a million things. He's kind of a big Russian-y looking martial arts guy. And he's in 1,000 things. I wish I could find his name quickly in here, and I can't. But he did all the stunt work for this and did stunt work for a lot of movies back then.
Is it Richard Norton?
Maybe.
Because he's described as the... let me pull back up here. He's described as Sakura's enforcer, Kyo, and Long Legs.
That's the guy. That's him.
Okay.
Click on that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the Long Legs?
That was his part of his other character name for the Octagon. Oh, Long Legs.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Because it was really hard to kick.
He was Dao Sim.
Tall, right. Tall fellow.
He was frequently in Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, they're old buddies.
That could be where I haven't seen him.
But I've seen him. Pretty sure I saw him in some of that Spartacus show. He was an aging gladiator or something.
Probably so.
He's familiar.
Shirtless and buffed.
Yeah, that's the guy. Anyway, that dude's he looks like he's someone to reckon with. But he hissed a lot.
Hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious, right? You know, his name was Hilarious.
He was a riot.
Not hilarious. Hilarious, the gladiator. All right, here's your final thing, which is... Oh, that was the final thing. Never mind, I was hissing. There it is again. All right.
That's a good way to end.
Well, there's that lady.
Oh, wait.
But that was last week. That wasn't recent.
Oh my gosh. Wish that was in this movie.
Hello.
Oh, good times. All right. That was a great movie, or fun episode, that one. I think back on it fondly.
Yes.
All right. That means we are done with those, and that means that now it's time for the checklist. The film sack checklist goes thusly: action music that sounds like a fight sequence in The Hulk, check. Severely hairy Chuck Norris chest, check.
Wow.
And Chuck Norris has Lonnie Anderson hair, check. All right, great.
He does.
He really did. When it got wet, it looked better. But when it was all coiffed and dry, good Lord. Go find out where Mr. Carlson is and why is Johnny Fever off the air. Star Trek stuff, we have the following. Tracy Walter was Mr. Beatty, and he also played a Ferengi named Crayon in the episode The Last Outpost.
I'm pretty sure you better.
Ferengi, as a matter of fact. The first Ferengi that we ever see in Star Trek.
Oh, no way. He was one of them?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was him and Amron Shimmerman not playing Quark, but playing a different Ferengi. Right?
That's correct. Yep.
Oh, that's great.
Very first time we see them in Next Generation.
He not only got typecast from Star Trek, he got typecast in Star Trek. Think about that.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. Somebody called him up and said, Armin, you're our Ferengi.
You're our guy. So make sure when you're in Vegas in 2012, look grumpy as shit when people walk up to you.
Remember that cowardly thing we came up with? You owned it.
That's right. Ken Lesko, stunt ninja, performed stunts in 21 episodes combined of TNG, DS9, and Voyager. Don Pike, he was the chauffeur. He was in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. He did stunts. Brian Tochi, Sakura at 18-year-old Sakura. TOS, he played, one of the little kids in the fighting episode, All the Children Shall Lead. And then on TNG, 23 years later, played Ensign Kenny Lin in the episode Night Terrors. I remember Kenny Lin. He was hanging out with Wesley, I think. I'm not sure about that. Mm-hmm. I didn't look into it. Alan Marcus, he was a truck driver in Star Trek The Undiscovered Country. He did stunts. So there's those. And the soundtrack grade today, I'm going to give it an A for the A-team-like sounding soundtrack.
Yeah, right. Dude.
I want to give so much credit to the soundtrack. I want this score on my life.
No, you don't.
Yes.
No, you don't.
It's bad. It reminded me of that whole bit from I'm Gonna Get You Sucka about getting your own orchestra, you know, to follow you around and play.
I don't think I saw it. Should I have seen that movie?
Yes.
Is it worth saying I'm Gonna Get You Sucka? Sorry.
Oh, yes. For the platform, yes. Full shoes alone.
Everybody should have seen that movie 20 years ago. Yeah. I don't know if it's held up, but 20 years ago, it was amazing.
I get grief all the time for not seeing Harlem
Nights.
Nights. Yeah.
Give me that little step shoot with that thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Harlem Nights holds up.
That's Eddie Murphy.
Pryor. in the 1920s running a casino with Richard Pryor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It sounds interesting. That movie,
it holds up and it's streaming.
Is it a comedy or a drama?
It's a straight comedy.
Okay.
It is all comedy. All right. Man, Red Fox. Oh my God. I'm going to go watch it right now.
That sounds great. I like Red Fox.
Oh, you stupid dummy.
All right.
I'm coming. You big dummy.
All right, I'm going to do.
Just realize that Red Fox and Tracy Jordan are kind of.
That's pretty close.
That's right.
Morgan, I think, is the real name, right? Wait, is it Jordan or Morgan in real life?
Tracy Jordan and 30 Rock.
All right.
Yeah, Tracy Jordan's the character, or the actor. Tracy Jordan is the.
Right. Tracy Morgan's the actor.
Tracy Morgan is the actor.
Got it. Okay.
Tracy Jordan was the 30 Rock character.
It's their fault. They screwed us up. I'm not taking any credit for that. All right, we're going to sum this thing up in a Twitter post. That's where you guys say 140 characters or less what you think of the film. Let's start with Randy.
The Octagon, a reminder of when you're helping someone with their car trouble, just how dumb it is to switch cars. Who does that? Dumb Chuck Norris, that's who.
Oh, dumb Chuck. Oh, dumb
Chuck. Dumb Chuck.
Dumb Chuck. also, let's see. Brian Dunaway, go.
Ah, The Octagon. Like a good childhood hog story shared with Chuck Norris. At first it amuses you, and you feel sad because you remember you ate him. And he was delicious.
Hashtag delicious. Come on.
They were so happy.
They were pretty happy.
He started the hog story, and then all of a sudden they just shut up.
Yep, and then boobs. then finally, Brian Herbert.
The Octagon. Hack/chop. Are three things that should have been done to 1/3 of the celluloid issue to make the film.
Very, very well nicely done, and I couldn't agree more. I've got an alternate title. Just handed to me. These are the alternate titles. One hour and 30 minutes of talking and 15 minutes of fighting. I think that would have been too long, so I'm going to settle on this one, which is, quote, the Chuck Whisperer, unquote.
That's excellent.
Proud of that one.
Something I noticed coming out of the film, I couldn't come up with an alternate title for it, though, was William H. Macy in Boogie Nights must have been going for Chuck Norris's look in the Octagon.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Oh, really?
Perfectly said. Yeah. That's exactly what those...
That's funny.
That's who I think of sometimes when I see Chuck Norris as he ages. He looks just like him.
Yep. Oh, Google weird. William H. Macy.
Oh, wow. Totally.
Sorry,
Jim. Yep. Google William H. Macy Boogie Nights, and you will see Chuck Norris in the Octagon.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Did you guys catch Samwise Gamgee in Octagon? Did you guys see
it? The guy that looked like him, yeah.
Sean Astin, baby.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't really him, right?
Looked a lot like him.
No, he would have been like 8 or 9.
Yeah. That. Yeah.
I thought Rudy when I saw it, but yeah, you're right. And if you want to see the blinking guy with the nunchucks, I vined that guy, so you can see him moving around.
He was blinking like nobody's business.
Let's see here. We got emails. Got a couple of them. Got one here from Keith York. From Dallas, Texas. He says, I just finished watching Badass and then listened to your podcast. For you guys not liking this film, you sure laughed a lot during your podcast. I thought the movie was so bad that it was good bad. Good job on the review. Here is a movie on Netflix I watched, and it has a lot of your final elements. I'm not sure what that means. In it, and includes a cave which looks like none other than a vagina. The movie is Grabbers, another giant octopus monster type movie. There's a scene where an octopus gets stuck on this guy's head to eat him, I think, and the guy frantically tries to shake it off. The only thing as I watched this, I could not help but think of Mr. Bean with the Thanksgiving turkey stuck on his head. It's a classic.
God, that is awesome.
It's a classic. You guys keep up the good work, Keith York. Thanks, Keith. We appreciate it. I've never heard of Grabbers, so we could check that out. I have no idea what that is.
I've heard of Graboids, but never Grabbers.
Grabbers? Hold on. Grabbers.
Never heard of
2012,
that
recent. When an island off the coast of Ireland is invaded by blood-sucking aliens, the heroes discover that getting drunk is the only way to survive. Well, that sounds great.
Oh, I could hear Scott Fletcher just reading that.
It's a bunch. It looks like it's kind of Shaun of the Dead, kind of tongue-in-cheek, it looks like, a bit.
Okay.
Hard to say. Just from looking at the cover or from the front of this thing, it looks like that's what you're getting into there. Aloha, Scott, Brian, and Randy says a name I didn't get.
Okay.
I don't know why I didn't get their name. I'll find it in a minute. It says here, I was excited to hear that you guys have nothing but trouble coming on the list of films to review.
We do.
I wanted to point out that a fun cameo is in there, so you guys could watch for it. There's a scene where the entirety of Digital Underground performs a song, including a young Tupac Shakur.
Oh,
didn't know this at all. The film was released in 91, which would put Tupac at around 19 to 20 at the time. Love the show. Keep up the good work. I had no idea.
I'm with Brian. The only thing that matters about Digital Underground to me is Humpty Hump, man. God, I love Humpty Hump.
This was from Chuck Ray. How ironic your name is Chuck during this episode. Ray. Thanks, Chuck Ray. Appreciate your email. If you'd like to email us, you can. It's real simple. Filmsack@gmail.com. We have coming up next Congo. Congo.
Yes, indeed.
Another
Michael Crichton
joint.
Sure.
Yeah. What was our last one? Time to Kill? No, Timeline.
Timeline. Yeah.
And then before that, nothing. Right? No. Is Anaconda his? Right.
No. Jurassic Park, Anaconda, Andromeda Strain.
I always got Congo and the Snake movie mixed up. Is it because Ice Cube is in both of them?
Anaconda? Yeah, I think it's what
Anaconda.
Yeah, Anaconda. That was a girl I dated in college.
That's awesome.
She was lovely. But wait, isn't Ice Cube in both those movies? Is that why I've tied them together? I want to say
Ice Cube is not in Congo, is he?
He's not?
No.
Hold on.
No way.
Now Fishburne? I got to look it up.
Nice.
You know what? The likelihood of me actually getting a Fishburne mix-up is too high. I shouldn't even try.
Yeah, the likelihood's too high.
Oh my gosh, it's Ernie Hudson. Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow. You weren't even close.
Yes. That's who I was thinking of.
Just once again, remember Scott went to gym class.
And what's the likelihood of Ernie Hudson coming up again? Two movies in a row. Jeez.
I hope he gets longer than he did in this one.
Laura Linney, Dylan Walsh, Tim Curry, and Ernie Hudson.
It's an all not star cast.
And isn't Hoffman, Dustin Hoffman? Oh, no, that's
Sphere. Sphere. Which I liked Sphere. I know the book's supposed to be a trillion times better.
Blend together completely for me, casts and all that stuff.
Yeah. And I think Samuel L. Jackson's in Sphere, or is he in the other Deep Sea movie?
Samuel L. Jackson.
You're thinking of LL Cool J. in the shark movie.
This is embarrassing.
It kind of is. Mostly for me, to be honest. So there you go. It's Congo next week right here on FilmSack. You can find that on Netflix. It is streaming currently, and I believe in other places as well. So join us when we talk
about
that.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? What the hell's wrong with you? Be here or be there. All right, that's it. We're done. Thank you all for being here. FilmSack.com is our website. You can find links to everything you need to know right there. Email us once again at FilmSack@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at FilmSack. Leave us a review on iTunes. We love those. Anywhere podcasts are downloaded, it's always a welcome thing to be able to read those. We appreciate it. Thank you guys for being here. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yep.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Go, 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 go.
This movie sucks.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Where's the peanuts?